book of Matthew 28. And you might have it, they may have it on the screen. It says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. So that's that command, not a suggestion. But go, therefore, and make disciples, not just converts, but make disciples, followers of Christ, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And he was telling them that just as I've taught you, you need to teach others. Mark, in the 16th verse, and this will be our 16th chapter, 15th verse, and they'll probably have it on the screen. I see it is now. Good. It says, and then he told them, go into all the world and do, help me out, preach the good news to everyone. And everyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Wow. And it goes on and says, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. And this is the word, and I plan on sharing it just as it is written. So pray with me. Father, thank you so much for your purpose, your plan today. Thank you for challenging us. Thank you for speaking to your church, because we're the body, you're the head. So we want our hearts to be touched by what touches your heart. We want to yield to the things that you yield. We want to love the things that you love. So, Father, may we have a passion for what you have a passion for, in the name of Jesus. May we just not be casual about our relationship with you. May we not be casual about Christianity, but God, you've called us, and our answer is yes and amen. We say yes. So speak to us today, God. That's our prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and we say amen. Now, if God has been really good to you, why don't you go and give him your best praise right now where you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. When I was thinking of the sharing today about our children, I remember that it's been a number of years ago, probably 40 years ago. So you know it's a long time ago. You said, well, how old is he then? Well, at least 40. but I was working with a young group, and they were young at the time, and just good friends. Her name was Millie, and his name was Ronaldo. They were from the Philippines, and they were missionaries to the United States, and they came here, and I remember their impact they had on my life, because we both were a part of working with youth at the juvenile detention center. And when I heard him talking about, you know, our children and the need that they have, when we were at the juvenile detention center, well, Millie sang and Ronaldo played guitar, and they did a great job of singing and playing and sharing the gospel. They did a good job as well. But above all that they did, they knew how to love kids without judging them, without coming against them, without talking about, you know, what are you in here for, all that stuff. They would come in, they would light up the room, because they would come in and just begin to start hugging kids. And the kids, they needed those type of hugs. They needed that. And those kids, you know, would look forward to it. And I was just kind of watching, because I was still super young. I was not in ministry. I certainly, you know, didn't know anything about preaching. But I would just watch them lead. And as they led them, it touched my heart, because I learned so much about ministry, knowing that first you have to start loving people before you can start trying to talk to them and them receiving. Man, they would show up and they would love. They may come in hard, and sometimes, you know, certain situations, you know, guys try to look hard, but they get a hug and you can see that look like, I needed that. Even the big strong dudes. I'm telling you. Love, man, it touches us in ways other things can't. So one of the things that I learned from them is, you know, they were willing to show me, and this is what, you know, our young people have been asking us, you know, show me, and then I will know how to do it. So show me, and then let me, and then as you let me, understand that I might make some mistakes, so it's okay to correct me, but then encourage me after you correct me. Are y'all with me? Because I'm talking about discipleship there. So, and man, is that ever, correcting is probably the hardest part of it. Any of you all got anybody you're mentoring? And you struggle with the whole thing of, how can I correct them without them shutting down? How can I correct them? And then encouraging is a lot easier for me. And then you finally send them. I remember when Million Ronaldo said, hey, we're getting ready to go. We got to go. And so we want you to take care of next Sunday, because it was on Sunday, real early, Sunday mornings. And so we want you to share that particular Sunday. I'm like, oh. And then the Holy Spirit began to remind me, hey, they've already showed you. They've let you do it while you were there. And they've encouraged you and corrected you when you were off. Now you're ready to go, so they can send you. How many of you all know that that is what God wants to do today? When I look at the example of Jesus himself, how he took the disciples and he took time with them, and it takes time, you know, as we talked about last week, and if I almost tripped, then if I had failed, I would just lay down in the spirit. Just, hey, maybe say, man, the spirit hit him, hallelujah. So, but as I look at what Jesus was doing, he spent time with his disciples, and, you know, they weren't perfect. The Bible says he prayed for them all. He prayed all night, and then he selected those 12. And then he started spending time, three and a half years, public ministry with them following him, watching him do things. I think it's very important for us today to also take the time with those that are going to be leading, those that are going to be, they have issues now, but guess what? God's going to use them in an amazing way. I already know. You know, for example, Jesus says, he says to them, he says, and this is, I love, this is after he's risen from the dead. He has a message that is so powerful. His message is this. He says, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to pray. And don't leave to do the task that I've assigned you to do until you're baptized or endowed with power from on high. And then he says, these signs are going to follow you. He tells them some other things. And I like the one he says, that the power is going to come upon you and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of the world. That's powerful to me. And then he tells them, and this is one of the last commandments he gives them. This is a strong one. He says, go and therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then that next verse, I love it too, because it's the same message he's sharing. And he tells them, he says, and I had to read this twice because it kind of made me say or recognize where God's heart is. He says to them, he says, go into all the world, not just part of the world, but all the world. So God's heart is not just for Springfield. It's not just for one side or the other, but he says, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And then he says, everyone that believes and is baptized will be saved. He says, but if they refuse to believe, they shall be condemned. Now, King James Version, it says, they shall be damned. And I didn't cuss. But it's in the Bible. A lot of other words that we use in the Bible, too, I'm just letting you know. He said, they shall be damned. So, in other words, I want you to let you know, he said, it's a matter of life or death. I'm not playing church. I'm not doing this because I don't have anything else to do. We're just not here to be filled up, looking good on the outside, to say, wow, things were nice today. We are here to receive from God and get direction from him so we can go out and change a world. Are you with me today? Somebody give him praise in this house. Real good praise. So let me share this again one more time. It's a matter of life or death. Jesus placed, and this is my first point, Jesus placed an emphasis on sharing the gospel and making disciples of all people. And his church should too. One of me said one more time, Jesus placed an emphasis on sharing the gospel. Let me say a high emphasis on sharing the gospel. Why do you say it was a high emphasis? Because that's what he emphasized when he was getting ready to leave. He had rose from the dead. He had done all that work. And now he says, I'm getting ready to go, but I got to let y'all know, you all have to go. And all the world, and preach the gospel, the good news. The world needs to hear good news. They've heard CNN and NBC and Fox and all the rest of the newses, but they need some good news. How many of you know the gospel is much better news than what we can see on TV as it relates to that? I don't care what situations might look like. There is good news in the midst of all this taking place. There is good news. And he tells us that this is where our emphasis should be, sharing the gospel, making disciples. And can I share with you today that this church's mission is based upon that. Our church's mission is this: Abundant Faith is a church committed to reaching the world for Christ through faith, hope, and love. That's who we are. That's the heart of all the other stuff comes and goes. And they'll probably show it on the screen when they catch up with me, because I know they have that. So let me say it one more time, because I want you to know why we exist. We're not just here to look good on the outside. We're not just here to say, wow, man, that was cool, man. You know, that was a good message. Pastor, I give you a 9.5. No. That is not our purpose for being here. Our purpose is to receive a word so we can go out, use the gifts and talents that God has given us to change a generation, to reach a generation. So one more time, Abundant Faith is a church, what? Committed to doing what? Through faith, hope, and love. So when we come, we're here for the purpose of getting filled up so we can take that message to the world. And some say, you know, and I know that, you know, when you look at the passage, especially the passage in Mark where it says, go into all the world, and our human reasoning would say, how can we go into all the world? But faith says, yes, you can. Faith says, we can and we will. Faith is, you know, faith is the first part of that, through faith, hope, and love. Faith is the Greek word pistis, which means, you know, where we define, you know, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So it's the very proof that it can be done. We just have to be willing to say yes to God's will. Are you with me today? Hope is pistis, or actually elpis, which actually deals with the fact that there's expectation for a public manifestation. We believe that what we're praying for is actually going to come to pass, and we're standing not only in faith but in hope. And then love is agape. That's our why. Why do we do what we do? Because we love God and we love people. We love God and we love people. I don't care, hard, challenging people, we still love them. Are y'all still with me? We got quiet on the love people part. I love God, people challenging. Hallelujah. But the Lord tells us, if you love me, then you need to keep my commandment. And God loves people. And if we remember how God has loved us in spite of us, then we ought to love people as well. Are you with me today? Yeah. Somebody give him a praise in the house. So because of our love for people, we've not only done ministry here in Springfield and surrounding, you know, areas in Illinois, but we've preached in many countries and on several continents, and we will continue to do so. And I always say this: if the pandemic can reach the world, then the gospel certainly ought to be able to. Come on, somebody, give God some praise. Man. So we financially, and we're in a different place now, church, and this is a pastoral message, we're a different place now. What does that mean? That means that we're no longer in debt. We owe no man nothing but to love him. So why is that important? Because we're at a place now to where we look for people we can bless. I've always wanted to be at that place. I've always wanted to be out of debt and always wanted to be at a place. Now we can look for places that we can sow money. Why did I ask sister to come back today? Because we wanted to bless somebody, do the work of the kingdom. Somebody give God a praise in the house. We weren't always there. But thank you, God, for where we... And it's because of your faithfulness, because of your giving. Thank you, Jesus. Our board of directors, they was happy too. Hallelujah. They were happy. They said, we out of debt, and we out of debt for good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we financially support missionaries in several countries right now. The latest being Susan and Travis in Lithuania. You know, they were here, they came here, and they had a heart for the things of God, become a member of this church, and they said, Pastor, we feel God leading us to Lithuania, and we know it's not far from Ukraine and Russia, but we feel God is calling us there. Well, guess what? You know, I said, well, hey, yeah, well, we want to be a part of that. We want to support that. Right before the pandemic, Jita, James, and I, James will be, Pastor James, let me be formal, we went to South Africa not right before the pandemic, so it must have been 19, and to see that God is raising up individuals to do the work of the kingdom and causing us to operate in boldness to do what he's called us to do and no longer sit, and elevating, sharing the gospel throughout the world above buildings, above comfort, above projects, above, I mean, God, we want to share your gospel, because how many of you all know if you were going to hell, you'd want somebody to tell you there's a better way, there's a healer, there's a deliverer, there's somebody that can pull you out of your mess. Somebody here, come on, give them a real good shout in the house. Woo! But that's just the beginning, because I believe we're going to sow a church overseas as well. And there's going to be abundant faith overseas, I already know. And God has begun to work with us on how that will materialize. Why is it so important? Because we just simply don't want to have conversions, because that's a part of it. But we want discipleship, and there's a huge difference. So let me share this. You know, when we talk about conversion, someone says, I want to be saved. I give my heart to God. And that's good. That's necessary. But sometimes we take that as simply fire insurance. Well, what do you mean by fire? I mean, I won't burn. I won't go to hell. I got insurance. I got saved. I walked up there. I don't have to worry about the heat. Now let me go do what I want to do. Now, how many of you all know that's not what God meant when he called us to follow him? Jesus called us to follow him so we can do what he did and serve like he served. Are you with me today? So therefore, I want to use my hands for his glory. I want to use my feet for his glory. I want to use my tongue, my mouth for his glory. Why? Because I don't simply want to be a convert. I want to be a disciple, a follower of Christ. Somebody give God praise one more time in the house. We're not looking to do the bare minimum. Wow. I often use this as an example. Well, no, I better not do it. I'm going to stay in good graces with Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, let me, I'm going to move right on. 2 Peter 3:9. And here's what we're talking about. We're talking about the very fact that Jesus placed an emphasis on sharing the gospel and making disciples of all people, and his church should too. Why should we do that? Because I love what 2 Peter 3:9 says. It said, the Lord is not slow, and some versions say slack, concerning his promise, as some understand slowness or slackness. Instead, he's patient with you and patient with the world. He's been patient with the world right now. I often wonder why he hasn't come back. And then he begins to remind me, he doesn't want, this is the rest of that passage, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He's waiting for those individuals that haven't heard the gospel. He's waiting on the individuals that make up their mind to say yes to Christ. He's waiting for the church to rise up in this last hour and say, we're going to go out and we're going to be the church that God has called us to be. We're going to open our mouths and share that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he will save you. I don't care what your situation is. He'll bring you out of it. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Are y'all with me today? And some of y'all, and if we had it our way, we would say, I want that one to perish and that one to perish. I'm just being truthful. I'm just being truthful. So let me share this. The Great Commission that Jesus gave us requires our participation. Say, it requires my participation. And the assistance of the Holy Spirit, our helper. So I want you to know that when he gives us something to do, you know, our participation is necessary and required. You know, he's not going to make you do anything against your will. Then you have to come to that point where I'm willing to participate. I'm willing to do what God says do and say what he wants me to say. Because it's very, very important, because when you say yes to God's will, that opens up the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to help you. But why would the Holy Spirit help you be disobedient? Are you with me today? He wants to assist you to do what God has called you to do. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my what? Witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Man, I love that passage. I love that passage. My brother and I were reading that. We were just, you know, young in ministry. And we were reading that, so we decided that we would go and put the gospel into action. And so we got our Bibles, our tracts. And you know my younger brother, Pastor Cece, he's been preaching since he was 13. And I wanted to wait and do some dirt before I got saved. Just being truthful, I said, hey, hold on for a minute, God. I'm going to come one day. But I ain't no hurry right now. I want to, because the pleasures of sin. And I don't act like I'm by myself. But later on, when I finally did get saved, I said, I'm going to put this gospel into action. So both of us got our Bibles and our tracts, and we said, let's go be a witness. And our church, you know, our parents are ministers. They're in ministry, have been a long time, and they've impacted our lives greatly. That's why I tell every parent, man, I'm not sure if you could ever know how much your witness means to your children. Their example before me. So that's not my point. Let me move on before I get off on this. So we lived in the hood, and our church was in the hood. You know, it was. So we didn't have to go far to do some work for the kingdom. We didn't have to go far. You know, so we went out. People were hanging out outside, and so we'd share and talk a little bit, pass out a tract, talk to them about the Lord, tell them where the church was. And we went a little further, knocked on another door. And but there was one house where prostitutes hung out. And so we skipped that house, you know, purposely. I looked at him. He looked at me. He said, nah, we don't believe that's God. Praise the Lord. So as we were passing by, one of them yelled out, hey, church boy, we need to hear word too. I'm thinking like, I'm looking at him and he looked back at me. I'm thinking like, are they talking to us? And then they made it very clear. Hey, you. Yeah, you over there. And we looked around and said, so, yeah, we need to hear the word too. So then I looked at him and said, hey, what are we going to do? I said, well, they done called us out. So we got to go over there. So we went over and we began to share what little we know. And that's why I want you to know that people don't care how much scripture you know. You don't have to say it just right. You don't have to dot every I and cross every T. They didn't care about that. We shared the little bit we knew. And man, I was amazed. I left the track and he looked at me because we were trying to, you know, look from the head up. You know, we were neck up. We prayed, and we thought that was the end of it. Next day was Sunday. Those prostitutes was at church. They were at church. But I'm not sure if the church was ready. Can I preach today? I tell you, the church really wasn't ready. Because when somebody comes in their outfits, regardless of what the outfits are, that's what they have. Don't be looking on the outside. Let them come as they are. Oh, I feel a preach coming on now. When those that are on drugs come to the church and they smelling like loud, don't move to the next seat. Draw closer to them. Get a contact. Hallelujah. How y'all know about loud anyway? Some of y'all say, I don't know what loud is, bless God. But the church has to become ready for those that God is going to send in. Are y'all with me today? I believe there's going to be a harvest in this last hour. I believe God is raising us up. I believe God is preparing a generation that when they come in, we'll say, come on in, because we've been waiting for you. Somebody give God praise. I got to wrap this up. Every believer can be a witness to how God can still transform lives. Every believer. Because I don't care who you are, where you are, where you've come from. You've sinned in the past. Because the Bible says all have sinned. You are a part of that all. I don't care how long you've been saved. How tight your outfit. I mean, tight as in how it looks. I'm not talking. Moving on. I don't care what degrees you have sinned. All have sinned. And every one of us have a testimony. Every one of us can be a witness of how God still transforms life. And sometimes we get messed up because our sin didn't look like someone else's sin. Because we didn't go to prison, but we could have, because what we were doing was just as bad. We just didn't get caught. Are y'all with me today? I too messed up, and I remember doing some stuff, and people were saying, well, you didn't do certain things. You didn't go out and do this. You didn't rob and bank. But I remember some of the stuff. Some people, they sin. And, you know, most crimes are white-collar crimes. You know how many people cheat on their taxes? You didn't know that was a sin. So, oh, Pastor, I didn't know that was wrong. That you can't do that? No. Let me let you know, when I was coming up, I didn't, you know, break in nobody's car, didn't break in nobody's house. I never did. But when they came to my house with the goods, they said, man, we got this, we got this, we got this. Can I just be real? Man, they had some good stereo equipment. And then the enemy tried to tell you, can I just be real in the house? The enemy tried to tell you, well, they can't take it back. And then this, you know, it's a good deal. And you don't know where they got it. It might not be hot. I'm letting you know, that's sin. It's just as bad as the one breaking in the house. I was, and I struggled with that stuff being in the house for a while, and I did. And then finally somebody broke in my house and stole it back. And I wasn't mad to lose the stuff, but I was upset that what if my wife had been there? What if this had been there? Y'all better leave that hot stuff alone. Hallelujah. Now, this is a long time ago, long time ago. Somebody say long time ago. Yeah, just let y'all know how this wasn't a few years ago. I'm just saying. But all of us can be a witness.